and welcome to the Forbes India for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini. Innovation has many million definitions, and among the most or more popular ones was by Joseph Schumpeter, who described innovation as a process of, quote, creative destruction, unquote. By that, what he meant was a firm innovates successfully, reaps unusual profits, pushes competitors to come up with a better product, and this cycle continues. In this podcast, we will be talking about just this in the context of scaling sustainable innovations by terraforming enterprises. What does that even mean? Joining me on the call to talk about it all is Nishit Srivastava, CTIO India Capgemini. Hi, Nishit. Thanks for joining in.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Abhishek. Thank you for having me.
So let's start with the definition itself of innovation. I think this is, how would you define Capgemini's approach to innovation, and what do you believe makes it compelling for your clients, Nishit?
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Abhishek. That's a really good starting question, actually, because innovation, as you noted, means different things to different people, right, depending on their own existential maturity. And personally, I'm quite happy to align with everybody's version of the truth. Now, as a startup guy, my own view of innovation, Abhishek, is to creatively design and enhance future relevance of a brand and its experience within a commercially viable framework. You know, in order to be able to do that, I believe that empathy is fundamental to even approaching innovation. For example, you know, even 1,000 men can't even begin to fathom the intensity of labor pains that a woman goes through during childbirth. And you can well imagine that without that empathy, even if they were being creative, right, they're unlikely to be able to formulate a viable solution. It's not about creativity alone. There is a viability element to that. When we approach innovation, we not only have some of our best technology wizards and design specialists on the job, but also industry subject matter experts, okay? People from the industry, because they're the ones who truly understand the labor pains, or, you know, in the context of the CXO speak, the business KPIs in the corporate world, right? You know, and it's with that we're able to bring in more innovation to industry solutions and more industry-focused to technology innovation. And that, as you can well imagine, not coincidentally, also allows us to develop a view around cross-industry or cross-context innovations as well. And Abhishek, I'm sure you're aware, one key threat that every CEO is worried about in the present world is that of being disrupted and rendered obsolete by players outside the usual and familiar competitive landscape. Look at Google, right? In autonomous vehicles, or Apple in payment systems, who's disrupting banks' entire business models, right? And you'll begin to understand why our approach that I just mentioned makes us a seriously compelling business partner to our clients.
Having said that, you would agree that for every company which is innovative and successful, there might be 100 others that don't make it. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see across the world at all levels, not just at the CXO level? Why do you see that, you know, they succeed in pockets but fail to scale? And there might be, we had a conversation before we started recording, you spoke about some last mile challenges as well when it comes to deploying these innovations. So why do more innovations fail than they succeed?
So it's true that most innovations that we know of in the public domain are an insignificant fraction of the far larger numbers of them developed in the innovation labs within organizations. I mean, some of the most notable innovations come from the smallest of them, right, Abhishek, from the startup world. But, you know, one of the primary reasons why so few innovations ever scale is because of inadequate involvement of business CXOs with the innovation teams within their perimeter. Look, I mean, it's a business folks, right, that understand the nuances and dynamics of the real world and the real markets, right? Yeah. And if they aren't engaged with their own company's products or services, or indeed its innovations, it leads to what we refer to as the last mile challenge, which I spoke about in scaling innovations. And therefore, most of them perish in labs, in the idea stage itself. We also know from experience, you know, that there needs to be a bridge between innovation and business teams for any innovation to scale. When I talk about our subject matter experts, people from the industry, they're the ones who bring in the deep appreciation and empathy for real market challenges to any innovation deployment. And as part of crafting, let's say, a winning deployment strategy, we actively engage our clients' business organizations from design stage itself. It can't just be human-centric, so coupled together with proprietary intellectual property, you know, that we've built for coupling market insights, let's say market risk assessments and few other innovation tools and frameworks, this in turn creates a butterfly effect. And that helps our clients with a far more efficient innovation deployment framework with a view to scaling them.
That's interesting in that you used empathy twice in the last few minutes and also spoke how it might bring off the butterfly effect, where, if I'm not mistaken, it means that a tornado in Texas could be attributed to a butterfly flapping its wings somewhere in Mexico.
So that is indeed correct.
So this leads me to ask you that, how do we ensure that these innovations are, you know, sustainable? And especially if you could bring this in context of our situation today, that is in the pandemic, if you could give an example or two where how this has been done during the pandemic.
Look, sustainability is at the heart of everything we do. In fact, it's a mandatory corporate guideline for us and permeates all of our business functions and reflects in every single solution that we propose to our clients. Now, this pandemic has jolted the world out of its slumber on the urgent need to act on the climate neutrality, right? I mean, and that's not just internally, but across our respective value chains. You know, while on the one hand, when we look inwards, Capgemini Group's ambition is to be carbon neutral by 2025 and net zero by 2030. You know, on the other hand, we also have a responsibility to empower our clients, our partners, and our suppliers within our value chain in their own sustainability journey towards a carbon zero world too. What effectively this would mean is that, you know, we have a need to offer, for example, green IT solutions to our clients to decarbonize or digitize, you know, their business operations and to actually propose new business models in alignment with a zero carbon economy. For example, and you asked me for an example or two, so let me just hop upon that. We've created, Abhishek, let's say a carbon calculator, which is a homegrown tool for our clients to measure the impact of using electricity, fuels, data centers, water, and including the impact of, let's say, delivery setup across multiple countries. It also takes into account the other pollutants, greenhouse gas emissions, and elements such as waste produced, plastics, paper, materials. And using this carbon calculator, right, our clients can evaluate their solution options with sustainability as a key parameter. So this is how we're helping our clients and partners, et cetera, to assess their own impact on the environment. Another example, actually one of my favorite examples of a COVID-19-driven pandemic, sorry, innovation, that I love is around demand sensing. When lockdown struck the world over and widespread panic set in, other than the darkly comic situation around toilet rolls vanishing from stores, right? You remember?
Right.
Most consumer goods saw an unprecedented variance in demand profile. And predicting those with the historical data, you know, we call in artificial intelligence terms training data for machine learning and all that. That was as futile as you can imagine. We created what we call an intelligent demand sensing innovation, you know, that leverages both structured and unstructured data, like weather conditions, customer insights, etc. And it helps in forecasting accurate demand in the short run. And to do that, we leveraged very advanced algorithms, artificial intelligence, etc. And Abhishek, that greatly helped with improving forecasting accuracy in the context of such black swan events that we're in right now. And these will continue to be relevant even in other force majeure situations.
Right.
This innovation is actually deployed with a few of our clients, most of them amongst the world's largest consumer goods brands. Because of the pandemic and its aftermath, or not just the economy, but also the ecology, and the pressing need for rapid innovations anchored in sustainability, as I mentioned, we've launched what we call the Terraform 2021 program. Which brings in a lot more focus to all of these elements, including the fear of the unknown.
What does that mean? It's not exactly a business concept, is it? Terraforming?
Oh, I love this term. So literally speaking, terraform means earth shaping, okay? And implies the designing of a vibrant and alive environment and ecosystem, one that evolves continuously in a self-fulfilling cycle of enhanced future relevance and doing so sustainably. So Capgemini's Terraform 2021 program is in the context of driving innovation for ourselves, our clients, and our partners with an eye on the definitive positive planet in our wake. And terraforming, Abhishek, you know, it's unique to each terrain, just like each of our clients' unique position and presence within their ecosystem. You know, we've developed the right platforms, tools, and frameworks, et cetera, to deploy for a cross spectrum of, let's say, arid to vibrant innovation topography, and do so frugally. Cross-sector innovation that I referred to earlier as an example, you know, we're able to bring in the collective learnings as a global consulting firm from across context and at scale. And to be honest, and I do believe this, you know, Capgemini's ability to sculpt each landscape with a view to enhancing the fertility of each business function remains unmatched. And philosophically speaking, terraformation also connotes a certain singularity between our inner selves and the external world in a symphony of harmonious existence.
You put a different spin to it altogether. And can you draw some parallels of terraforming in the context of scaling innovations, and perhaps cite some real-life examples how, you know, this program has brought some measurable benefits to your clients?
Well, look, scaling itself is a cross-disciplinary activity, and consensus management between multiple stakeholders in organizations with divergent orientations is a very, very key requirement to bring realism to ideas in terms of, let's say, localization of those innovations, right? Mm-hmm. And the pace and timing of execution. And therefore, the analogy to transforming, as I explained just now, Abhishek, right, is not lost if you observe, right? COVID-19 has helped break down organization silos in the race for survival. Okay? It has brought in a lot more agility, you know, in the race for resilience. And that in itself is the first great step towards scaling innovation. You know, as an example, and one I'm sure you'll relate to, in the context of transformation and scaling innovations, right? When COVID-19 first spread across borders and the lockdown was enforced, many of our retail customers experienced 5x growth in e-commerce orders.
Right. Okay?
This happened in India as well, right? Now, this unprecedented volume of in-store fulfillment with the need for sanitization, social distancing, etc., saw stores failing to cope, leading to outages on many, many occasions. And, you know, in the race for survival, what he cannot afford is not be in that sailboat, right? So in keeping with the need for contactless means to transact, with social distancing enforced, et cetera, we innovated and created a solution for multimodal delivery optimization, including curbside delivery, for example, automated goods dispensing lockers, for example, right? And frankly, without getting into too many details, Abhishek, what it means is that we created a consumer connect mechanism on the go for these very large brands. We ran AI, ML-driven data modeling techniques to optimize pickup time, pickup distance, the walking distance from the parking lot, etc. We created interfaces with the external curbside and locker providers and provided operational insights to the business, you know, so that the clients could tweak their operations in real time, including their order management systems and in-store space planning systems, etc. You know, let's just say that this innovation was a wild hit and very rapidly executed and very, very appreciated by our clients.
And in the interest of time, this is the last one. Finally, you know, at the end of the day, innovation is more of a mindset. It needs people to believe that their organization and they themselves can change, because it might, as you rightly mentioned at the beginning, it might disrupt the existing way of doing things. And that change is quite difficult. In fact, companies or consultants also have a change management team to help make that transition. So how do you convince CXOs to take that leap and fly in the face of convention within their own organization?
So this is so true, Abhishek. And I'll actually wager that innovation has to move from being an individual mindset to an organizational culture. Mm-hmm. But coming to the clients, okay, and how we convince and help our CXOs, our client CXOs, to take the proverbial leap in the face of convention within their own organizations. Frankly, I don't believe that they're the magic wand to help that. And I'm going to leave aside, you know, the design thinking workshops and all of those things separately. I'm not going to talk about that. Let's just admit that most CXOs are seasoned professionals and absolutely at the top of the game. Okay? That respect has to be there. Otherwise, the empathy doesn't come in, right? However, the nub, okay, is exactly there. As long as they believe that the game is the same as are the rules, there's very little to go by. But in today's hyper-connected world, disruptions, as I noted, right, is frequently coming from outside their playing field.
Right.
And as a startup guy and a strong votary of open innovations as a concept, personally, I found that a lot of inspiration can be derived from startups. Mm-hmm. And that usually hits the home run in helping clients appreciate what they're broadly up against on what appears, you know, to be a very, very wide canvas. Another thing that has worked really well is bringing in cross-sector or analogous innovation ideas, particularly those that have already been deployed in other industries or contexts. And that becomes another arrow in the quiver to help raise the confidence level. Because, Abhishek, you know, it allows them to circumvent any anticipated rookie mistakes, right, that others may have already made and learned from.
Right.
And therefore, that allows them to accelerate in their own marketplace innovatively. And since, as you mentioned, change management, change begins at home. And I can share, how we straddled that in Capgemini India. Mm-hmm. While I'm responsible for the innovation at large and I've got a nice large team, we don't centralize or try to become crucibles of innovation in some sort of a lab environment or whatever.
Right.
But we train a larger organization on the job, mm-hmm. okay, on the many innovation tools and frameworks, so that it fosters a culture of right. innovation across the firm. And that rubs off on a client relationships as well, you know. So yeah, back at you, but you know, that's how we approach innovation, and then that's the way we are able to drive what you call the mindset change, but also innovation culture in working with the clients.
Right. Great. I think that summarizes it quite well. Thank you very much for your time on this podcast, Nishit. Thanks so much.
It was a pleasure being here, Abhishek, and thank you so much for giving me the opportunity.
Thank you. And you can, all your listeners who are listening in, you can find this podcast on ForbesIndia.com and on all your favorite podcast channels, including iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts. This was Forbes India Tech for Sustainable Future series powered by Capgemini.